When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jones. Bowden.
He's got it. England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins.
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. A look back at the fourth day's play in the fourth test from the Oval. A beautiful day at the Oval. And this game keeps on giving, doesn't it? Because, you know, after a couple of days, it looked like it was going to be a shortened affair, a seamer-dominated affair. But now India have fought back superbly. In fact, the balance of power has shifted one way and then the other. Classic test cricket. And now all results possible with the last day in prospect. A sell-out crowd at the Oval expected. And you know, they know their cricket, don't they? Because it's really tantalisingly set up with England 77 for none, 291 more required for victory. It will be the highest ever run chase they would have achieved in their history, successful run chase. But actually, looking at that pitch, I reckon they could do it. What do you think?
Well, this has been a brilliant LV Insurance test series and a brilliant LV Insurance test match. And it's been a match worthy of the series, really. I mean, it has gone one way and then the other. And so has this game. The series has done that and so has this test match. And I don't think anyone can sort of sit here tonight and say equivocally which way this game is going to go. You can make a case for, well, almost all four results. You can certainly make a case for perhaps the draw. I looked on the markets, and the draw looks to be the favourite. And you can sort of understand it with this pitch as well, because if England were to lose two or three wickets in pursuit reasonably early on tomorrow, I think the pitch is flat enough for players to bat long and not necessarily go for it. You know, you England might retrench. They might say, well, actually, it's too far ahead, too many runs to get, and they might sort of sit in a bit. And I think you can stay in. Of course, that brings its problems, doesn't it? If you're too defensive, you know, you get men around the bat, and there might be a catcher there that wouldn't normally be there if you were scoring reasonably freely. But that partnership between Hamid and Burns tonight has certainly given England a chance. I think when they started off 368, a long, long way ahead, but 77 for no wicket, so under 300 to win on the final day. It will, of course, it won't be easy, but you know, it's one of those situations where we've seen teams chase much bigger scores recently than in the distant past, where you say, oh, you can't get those runs. You can't get those runs. It's too many. But we saw it at Headingley. OK, that was Stokes inspired, and it was a bit of a freak in a way with that last wicket partnership. I think probably if I had to sort of, you know, really nail my colours to one result, I would probably say, probably the draw. Probably the draw with India.
The betting agencies would agree with you there, because here's our who's winning graphic, and the draw has come back from sort of a bit of a dead prospect, certainly a couple of days ago, and even actually sort of after tea today, the draw was still the least likely. Now it's the most likely, with a potential draw of about 48%, something like that. And India and England fairly neck and neck at about 25%. So it's fascinating. India just slightly shade it at the moment. They're more like 28% and England about 24%, something like that, 25%. And the draw around about nearly 50%. So it's interesting, isn't it? My feeling, and actually, by the way, you know, we should just look at this overall graphic today, those of you who are watching on video. And by the way, the video is available on the Cricketer website at thecricketer.com as part of our Test Match Series coverage. It's a big sort of LV insurance area of the website, and this graphic will be there as part of this video. And, you know, it's fascinating to watch, say, the red line of England starting a little bit below India at the beginning of the match, climbing very high when they bowled India out for 191 and then got a lead of 100, and then suddenly sort of plummeting down as India have fought back in the second innings, and that big second innings score that they achieved, giving them hopes of victory, which has now been dashed by, or at least dented, by England's excellent opening partnership today. So it's been one of those classic test matches where it has ebbed and flowed and the balance of power has shifted quite dramatically, and it's still anybody's call.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If you look at that graphic, I know you're taking it off the screen now. If you look at the graph, the draw has been third favourite throughout the game, and consistently, and, you know, quite long odds throughout the game. And then around about tea time today, or just after tea today, when Hamid and Burns got stuck in, you know, it's gradually come up. It's a sharp, you know, upward incline, and now it is the favourite. But I think what's really good is that the three main results, because, you know, there is a tie as well, which, I mean, goodness me, if we have a tie tomorrow, what a day we're going to have. But the three main results, draw, India or England, are all really close together. And that is perfect for the final day of a test match. I mean, it's the perfect storm, or whatever, the perfect summer's day. A storm actually is probably the wrong phrase to use, because it's set up so well for the final day. It's going to be sunny, fantastic weather. Every ticket has been sold. The series is level at 1-1, and you don't know who's going to win the game or whether it's going to be a draw. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. It's wonderful for Test cricket. It's wonderful for cricket in this country, and, you know, and all those, you know, watching and following in India as well. They'll be, you know, avidly following the final day. You know, when England started off 368 to win, you thought, you know, not much chance. I actually said to Chris Wokes, I spoke to Chris Wokes afterwards, and I said, first question was to him was, when you started your second innings, if I'd offered you a draw, would you have taken it? And he sort of paused and chuckled for a moment. He said, oh, didn't think you were going to ask me that question. So it was like sort of quite, you know, sort of rather took him off guard, really. But, I mean, obviously he wanted to praise how well Hamid and Burns had played. And, what that's done is it's tantalising, isn't it, for England? It's given them a sniff of a victory where I think probably at the start, that, you know, they might have thought 368, even on a flat pitch, yeah, we take a draw from here. But now you're starting to think, it is on. And Chris Wokes said, you know, if we bat deep tomorrow, then, you know, it is a possibility, especially with the pitch being so good. And he would know, because he was out there for 148.2 overs of absolute toil and grind. It was really hard work. Although, you know, we talked about the fluctuating nature of the game. Wokes chipped in with two quick wickets this morning, then Kohli went, and England, you know, suddenly it was six down and at just over 200 ahead. And you thought, hold on a second, England are right back in this after their tough day on the third day. It does show how quickly the game can change with the ball. And I think that's the thing we need to focus on tomorrow. You know, India are very capable of, you know, rushing through two or three quick wickets and just changes the game completely.
I must admit, I have never seen a pitch in England so unblemished after 4 days of test cricket. You know, there's hardly a mark on it. You can hardly see any of the run-ups. There's a little bit of rough that Jadeja can aim into, but it generally hasn't cut up nearly as much as any pitch I've ever seen in England. I don't know why that is. Good opportunity perhaps to chat to Lee tomorrow, the groundsman at the Oval, and find out what particular preparation he used. He just left it a little bit green at the start, and sometimes when you do that, the ball dints and creates uneven bounce as the match wears on and those little dents harden up. But it wasn't soft enough for that to happen, so it's just been a superb surface which hasn't deteriorated very much at all. You can see the ball is still in good condition, it's not starting to scuff up to create reverse swing, which sometimes happens at the Oval late in the season especially. The outfield very lush, so that's obviously helping to keep the ball in good condition. It hasn't swung very much for the bowlers generally after the first day. So I think it's one of those pitches that you dream of batting on. It's got a lovely even bounce, very little ball deliveries have misbehaved, and the only real threat has come from Jadeja throwing it into the rough, which will be hard for Rory Burns. It'll be a little bit hard for David Milan when he gets to the wicket, two left-handers, but actually not much of a problem for the right-handers. So they're going to have it the hardest, Burns, Milan, and perhaps Moen later on. England's right-handers have got nothing really to fear, I don't think.
No, I mean, you mentioned about sometimes when the pitch starts a little bit damp, the ball just takes a divot out and leaves a divot, and then it crumbles later in the match and it can become a bit uneven. I spoke to Mark Butcher while I was having my lunch today, and Butcher, of course, played a lot of cricket at the Oval, and he said, that pitch is flat. And I said, are there any of those little divots in it, you know, blemishes? And he said, no, there aren't. There are, you know, one or two, but really not very much, which is a huge plus for England when you consider, you know, they're having to obviously have to bat last on the fifth day. Just on Jadeja, I mean, India, they would love that. You know, remember those substitutions you could have in they experimented with them in one day cricket for a bit, where you could make a super sub, and it didn't last very long. I mean, if Kohli could make a change to his bowling lineup, God, he'd have Ashwin in, wouldn't he? And England,
we
I
said
think, would,
this at the start, yeah, though, didn't
yeah,
we? Actually,
yeah. England would fear Ashwin on the final day. Jadeja, he has got a good Test record, but they've just looked to be a bit of a lack of guile. I was on with Tuffers towards the end, and he said he just hasn't quite got that loop. You know, it's a bit fired in. Okay, he's firing it into the rough. Hasn't quite worked for him so far. He was either a bit too full or a bit too short. It's a bit of a mixed bag. And yeah, there is pressure, especially on Burns, the left-hander. But there wasn't a huge threat from Ravi Jadeja. Perhaps, you know, tomorrow's another day, and he might come out and he might win the game for India. And actually, you know, he's going to need support probably on the odd pitch like this. You know, it's probably not a day when he's going to come out and take six for. He might take his goal tomorrow would be, say, can he take three? Can he take three for and the rest support him, the likes of Bumrah, and get through England's batting order. But anyway, it's funny, isn't it, how we talked about the fallibility of these two batting lineups. India come out today and complete an innings of 466. And we're talking about the prospect of England chasing their record ever run chase, topping what they achieved at Headingley.
But it is to do with the pitch. And we've said actually all along, I didn't think the pitch did that much in the first innings, but it just did enough. And the bowlers were very good. And, you know, the precision and their plans are very, very meticulously worked out. And there's a few batsmen who are struggling. But as the match has worn on, the pitch has flattened, and it hasn't done anything. So all the results are feasible, and I don't think England will ever have a better chance to chase their record target in a Test match. 362, of course, was the record before that, which you called the final ball on, didn't you? In fact, it's in our opening titles, that great match at Headingley a couple of years ago, Ben Stokes hitting the winning runs there, 362 for 9. Could this be another one like that? And will you be on commentary?
Well, we don't know. It depends on the road. It depends on the timing of all these things. But that was a bit of a freak in a way, wasn't it, that match, because of the last wicket stand, that substantial last wicket stand. And Ben Stokes played, you know, one of the innings of the decade, innings of the century, really. I mean, unbelievable innings. It just shows you how brilliantly you have to play to win from this distance. That's why I think, you know, England's still third favourites in this game. I think draw India England is how I see it, and I think actually the odds bear that out. I think that's how a lot of people see it. But we have seen teams chase down. Sri Lanka did it, didn't they, in South Africa as well, in Durban, a remarkable chase, as good as the one that England produced at Headingley with an amazing last wicket stand there. There have been higher chases. It might be one day cricket that's done that, you know, that teams realise they can chase bigger totals now, and it's transferred to Test cricket. Perhaps Test pitches aren't deteriorating generally as much as they used to. That might be another factor. But whatever it is, it is happening, and you're right. I think on this oval surface, it is benign. It's a benign conditions. I saw Michael Holding in the corridor today. Michael, of course, in 1976, he took out the pitch, didn't he? He took those 14 wickets. I mean, that was flat, that pitch, that test match. Way back when he took 14 wickets. And I said, oh, they need you. They need someone like you, Michael. And he said, well, there's just there's nothing there, is there? There's not even any swing.
In fact, on commentary, he was asked how he would bowl on this. And he said, well, yeah, I'll take the pitch out of the equation a bit. You know, try a few bouncers, a few Yorkers. Keep plugging away, but in the end, I think I might just pull a muscle and go off. So I think that's quite a shrewd analysis, really. The town of Rugby isn't usually associated with our game, but there's a cricket club in the town doing great work, Rugby CC, and they are the next club we're profiling following their grant from LV Insurance and the ECB's £1 million Fund for Runs community initiative. As the only cricket club in the town, they've built up a popular club and already have a strong youth set up for boys. They are now focusing on investing time and energy into the girls' game with the aim of creating a full community club with an offering for all, regardless of gender. The grant from Funds for Runs will go a long way into helping them reach the goal and put cricket on the map in rugby. So we should consider who wins the In With Heart Award, the LV Insurance In With Heart Award today. And there's one or two candidates. I mean, certainly all those hard-working England bowlers. Chris Wokes, the most successful with his threefer, but they all bowled well. Certainly Wokes, Anderson and Robinson all bowled over 30 overs. I just feel tired even looking at those figures. Just the foot soreness of ploughing away for 30 overs on that lifeless pitch. It's just I'm just so glad I don't do it anymore. But who else? Batting-wise, Coley battled it out. A good lower order stand between Shardul Thakur and Pant and others. So who do you give it to today?
Well, I'm going to go for Rishabh Pant, and I'll tell you why. Because when he came to the crease, India suddenly were tottering. They were, you know, they were when he was batting, they were six down and just over 200 ahead, as I mentioned earlier. And what he didn't do today was play two or three outrageous shots where he just comes down the pitch and has a huge hoik. He gave himself a chance, and I wonder whether this is how he's got to bat in the future, because he's good enough to play. He's good enough to play. He's got enough shots. His defence is solid enough. And he showed today, in these conditions, a really level head. And he made a half century. It took him 105 balls. And that stand with Shardul Thakur seemed to take the game away from England. It's given India a great opportunity in this test match. Whereas at one point, they were just tottering, despite their excellent day yesterday. So I think for just reining himself in, we should give it to Rishabh Pant today. It is a sort of In With Heart award. It is about sort of determination and playing slightly differently. So I think Rishabh Pant wins it. He was so frustrated to get out because he'd done so much hard work. I think he sensed, right, I've got my 50. You know, I've really battled hard for 50. I've worked through it. I've controlled my demons. And then he had a big drive at Mohun, was caught and bowled. He had to. I don't think I've seen a batsman leave the ground so slowly for so long. He had to drag himself off. He was hugely frustrated, and it was the lift England needed, of course, as well. And Thakur was out just before, but he played well today. And perhaps there's a sort of lesson for him there. You know, those are the signposts for the future. He's such a talented player. In a way, it'll be disappointing to see him play within himself in future, because you just love his unpredictability. But if it keeps failing, then you know you have to have another plan, a bit like Dhoni did. I mean, Dhoni used to play lots of shots when he first started, and then they changed his approach, and it worked really successfully for him, especially in one day cricket. He was absolutely killer, wasn't he? But you know, even in test cricket as well, he was a success after being not exactly a walking wicket, but you could get him out quite easily in his early days of test cricket. He'd give you too many chances, really. So well done, Rishabh Pant.
Yeah, well done, Rishabh Pant. What about England's bowlers? We talk about not so much the Ashes coming up in a couple of months, but actually the fourth test, whether they need something a little bit different, because that four-pronged fast bowling attack is a bit samey. They're all around about the same pace. And while it works, if the pitch is helpful, it looks a little bit monotonous and repetitive if there's nothing in the pitch. And I chatted a bit to Stuart Broad yesterday, who's on holiday, so we had a bit of a text exchange, and I wrote this piece about wobble seam, and he talked about the advent of the wobble seam delivery being the kind of the phenomenon that's happening around at the moment, and that bowlers tend to focus now on the wobble seam, certainly in the first 10 overs, because the ball doesn't swing until the lacquer comes off. So with the new ball, they're looking to bowl wobble seam for two reasons. One, there's not much swing to be had quite often. And secondly, to get swing, you need to pitch it full, and that could be a half ollie, whereas wobble seam you can get from a good length, and the batsman doesn't know which way it's going either. There are less clues. So Broad was talking about it being a very popular phenomenon. He says, swing for show, but wobble for dough. And I think most of the wickets that England have taken in this test series, or certainly this match, have been with the wobble seam. But the trouble is, if there's nothing in the pitch at all, it's not moving, you need something else. And that something is probably pace, i.e. wood. So you'd love to be able to sort of have that four-pronged seam attack when it's doing a bit, and then substitute one of them for Mark Wood in the second innings. Mm.
That's why Test cricket's such an interesting game, is that you've got to lay your cards on the table before the match. You know, India would love to have Ashwin now. England would probably love to have had Wood at some times in the second innings. I'm absolutely certain that Wood is going to play at Old Trafford, as long as he's fit. And he was out there bowling at tea today, roaring in. He said he's had a problem with throwing, isn't he? I think his bowling is fine. He's just slight problem with throwing. But I'm sure he's going to play at Old Trafford. England are going to have to just mix it up a little bit. You know, back-to-back test matches. And you mentioned some of the bowlers have bowled a lot of overs. So, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to have to see where they are, see where they're in that red zone in the next few days. Will Jimmy Anderson play? I mean, England will want him to play. Of course they will. But is it risking injury? He's bowled a lot of overs in a quick space of time. And what did he bowl in this second innings? 33 overs.
33.
He bowled in the second innings. Robinson bowled 32. Wokes on his comeback bowled 32. So 47 overs in the match on your comeback. You know, when you haven't bowled very much. He said, "Oh yeah, the body's feeling a little bit sore." I'm not surprised. You know, it's very easy to sit here and say, "Oh well, you know, they get well paid and all that." But you can't pay a body to recover. Your body does what you know. You can be fit and all that sort of thing, but you can't. However much money you earn, you can't pay it to recover, and what you don't want is to get injured. Is that balanced anyway? Well, the medical team will have to sort all that out. But first things first, we're looking at Old Trafford. First things first, we've got an absolute cracker of a day. One person we haven't really mentioned today, actually, we should do, is Shardul Thakur. Another fine innings from him. I mean, Rishabh Pant wouldn't have been anywhere without that 60 from Shardul Thakur and that stand of 116 for the seventh wicket. And the other point to make as well, I think, is when we saw Umesh Yadav and Jasprit Bumrah put together their partnership, because India put on 52 for the last two wickets. I just thought, we know this pitch is flat, but if they can make it look easy, then I just wonder what could be around the corner for England. Certainly in terms of a draw, you know, in terms of not being dislodged in that second innings, it's possible. And Burns and Hamid put that into context. We talked about Rishabh Pant as our in with heart winner today, but I think Hamid could easily have won it as well. I mean, you know, they've been in the field for 148 overs, and it's really tough for those openers, and they came out and played splendidly, you know, and they just settled everything down and just sensed the crowd batting with them, you know, in those closing overs, getting to the close. But they've got to come back and do it all tomorrow, and there's still a heck of a lot to do on this final day. 291 to win from 90 overs.
I mean, it's just beautifully set up, isn't it? And that's a really good point about the dedication of the openers and the stamina they had, they showed at the end there to sort of survive that spell and actually get the runs on the board as well. So 90 overs to go, 290-odd to win, 3 and over, it's definitely doable. And, we're very interested to see what happens. Obviously, so will a capacity crowd of 25,000 tomorrow. We'll be amongst them and we'll report back tomorrow night to tell you what happened. See you then.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.